PPR League Fantasy Insider, brought to you by Giant Eagle, Tasty Grains, Whole Grain Chips, the original naturally flavored, naturally whole grain goodness, and a satisfying crispy chip.
All right, guys. Welcome to the preseason podcast of the 2012 Igloo Fantasy Football season. We've got John and Joel here bringing the thunder from Upper Arlington, Columbus, Ohio, at the home of Andrew Hun.
We're actually in the garage right now.
In the garage, yeah, not in the home.
I don't know if you can, you might be able to hear some of the crickets.
The crickets,
that's
yeah.
That's not just bad jokes.
We're not pumping that in.
That's not a sound effect.
We're out in the garage while Andy and Ashley are running a train on Barcelona, I think, right now.
Expensive cigars beers. And esoteric beers on futuristic balconies.
And posh hotel rooms.
Nice hotel beds.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're here to talk about, briefly review last year and talk about this coming season. Who do we expect to be a major player?
John, before going forward, teams, why don't you mention the beer you're drinking right now?
I'm currently enjoying, it's called Fest Beer Lager by Columbus Brewing Company.
What's that like?
It's kind of like a hybrid between an Oktoberfest and a summery lager light beer. I think it was probably a good choice currently for a season where, like something like a Sam Adams Oktoberfest is a little bit too early right now.
It's darker than it should be.
I enjoy it.
That's the theme. That's the theme of the season.
No, I enjoy it. I mean,
it's a foreshadowing of friendships.
It is a very good hybrid beer. My brother would actually probably really like this. What are you enjoying over there?
I'm drinking probably one of the better $7.99 varieties that Giant Eagle is providing right now. Pacifico. I think it's
with no lime.
Mexico.
Do they drink beers with lime in Mexico?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think they're like...
I mean, is it like a stable? Like, you order Corona, they serve it with a lime?
Yeah, probably. They probably have lime. They ask you with lime automatically.
Hmm. But you're drinking that with no lime.
Yeah.
And it's still very enjoyable. I think I do like Pacifica. I think I like it a little bit better than like a Corona or a Landshark.
It's not as, like, it's not trying to be something it's not.
It's not too trendy.
I like the idea of it more than I actually like it.
They're good, man. All right. Nothing like a good Corona and a burger.
All right, man, so let's get into this podcast.
Okay, so briefly, let's recap last year. I mean, this is being listened to by everyone who's in the league, so first and foremost...
Everyone that listens to a podcast.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Sans, Maddie, Paul,
not everyone,
Aaron,
dude.
Staff, Dave, J-Back.
I think Dave
There are three people, including us, that will... and two of them will criticize, including me, after the fact.
Well, I think probably, first off, congratulations to McGinnis.
Yeah.
Won the league. First two-time winner in Igloo history. When's the last time he won the league? Was it in the modern era? Or was
no, it was way back when, like a decade ago.
Okay.
Back when James Kresge and...
Tim Schwartz?
Yeah, literally, Josh Coffey was in our dorm room. That's when McGinnis was winning the league. It was like when he still liked us enough to actually be in the same room with us.
So when we call McGinnis the two-time winner of the Coffee Cup, does that deserve an asterisk?
Because yeah, first win no, it doesn't. The... Okay, I don't live in the asterisk world that some people do.
You do live in the asterisk
world. I am.
You're in the asterisk
world. No, I am
world.
The asterisk, but I'm not. I don't live in that. I don't live in the shadow of the asterisk. But McGinnis won it way back when, but it's just a testament to how old the league is, and it's pretty cool to be like a two-time winner.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Well, I mean, last year, if it wasn't McGinnis, it was Ryan. He was a two-time winner.
Had you won in 2003 and 2004 and said you were a two-time winner, that's different than what McGinnis just did. Because
when was the last time you won it? Like 02?
I don't know. We'd have to check on that. Yeah. But I mean, it's been a while, but earlier in the league's inception or whatever.
Yeah. But. Well, he won it. Also, last year, a few big things, just to recap, that will affect the way that the league is going to operate this year. We had a huge, early on in the season last year, we had a huge trade between Andy and Ryan.
The Civil War.
It sent LeSean McCoy to Ryan for a second round pick for this season.
It was like if Clinton was in the Civil War and McGinnis was Clinton.
I don't get that.
The triangulating. Well, John, you're not like the political, but I mean, I'm not McGinnis was. I mean, behind the scene, behind the curtains, McGinnis orchestrated a coup against that trade.
Yeah, well, almost like Quarterbackgate of 2 years ago.
Yeah, almost. But actually, I was behind that from a little old people's house in Tokyo. I was orchestrating one of the major.
Well, so really that and a series of other trades, but mainly that trade ushered in the implementation
that
of
a Keeper
League. Exactly.
The Keeper League was the discussion that benefited from the concern over.
As I recall, the Keeper was something that we tried to implement before the season last year. It was actually turned down because we did it post lottery.
Yeah, which made sense. Yeah, it was more of an emergency measure to save, like, some...
It was something that we could see on the horizon coming.
The league was beleaguered by criticism and fears that it was going to descend into, like, free market chaos.
Which is what it did.
It's now Ryan's league. It's gonna, soon enough, it'll be an auction league, and later we'll be betting, like, large sums of money.
I wouldn't mind moving in the future to, like, a dynasty-type league. Well, basically, you can keep all your players. You can drop. There's probably some nuances that I don't understand, but you can drop a certain amount, and the worst team who had the worst record from the previous year gets to pick first in the draft to pick up either players who weren't on a team last year or rookies. So because Andy got the El Pinto, the Pinto Bean Trophy, he would be able to pick first in the draft this year. Players who weren't owned last year, like Trent Richardson.
It's weird how like some of the leagues, like some of our best points in our league, could be gone in a year, like a draft lottery or something like that. Mm-hmm. People turning like
dude, literally, I love the draft
like
lottery.
The El Pinto will become a vestige of the former league. Like no one will actually turn it, and balls won't come out of it for draft picks. Right?
Yeah.
It'll just be like last year's result,
like the Liberty Bell.
Yeah,
nobody ever.
I don't think that was. I think that was wrong for. Ranged or rung for?
I think it was ranged once by the mayor of Philadelphia for the Bicentennial.
Okay,
anyways.
Well,
anyway,
the
so
Pinto
that
will
happened.
No longer be flicked. There will be no more flicking of the Pinto Bean, and they'll probably like cast like we'll weld it so it can't be turned any further. It can no longer.
So Tessa can't turn the ball.
Yeah.
It's screwy.
People's fates, John's fates specifically can't be determined simply by. Okay.
So we introduced the keeper, which is something that we'll discuss further in draft, what kind of implications that will have in the way people draft and how the season plays out in terms of trades. The other thing that was implemented, I keep using that word, but that was brought in, is the waiver wire pickups this year, which, again, something I don't think a lot of people have a really good grasp on, how that will affect how you pick up a player off the waiver wire, free agency, who can do it, when do you do it. And you know if you use your waiver wire spot on somebody who doesn't pan out, you're hosed. You know what I mean?
Well, that's always been the case, right? You can always,
not really.
We've always had waiver wire spots.
Yeah, but nobody ever used the waiver wire because people be on Yahoo at 12:30 on a Sunday, picking up a player once he catches the first touchdown of the game.
Yeah. Okay.
Pick him up, drop another player. You know that nobody's really held accountable for their actions.
Okay, I'm confused by all that. We'll have to sort that out later. It's probably not a podcast thing to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I try to pick people up on Sunday, Monday, like, wouldn't work. So, but going forward, there'll be, like, a Tuesday time.
Yeah, I think the way it's set up right now, and again, I'll probably be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think the waiver wire, you put in your waiver claim on whoever you want, and on Tuesday we see if anybody was picked up and who got them. And then it's like the free agency, free market.
Well, okay, so to make this point, like, literally, so trading draft picks is now become orthodox in the league. So even someone like Aaron and staff that might be adverse to it might do it. Not probably not, but there's more people that are willing to do it now outside of, like, last year, that like the initial cherry-popping event.
Yeah.
So, and then on the other end, something like waiver wire, like, talk about advantage, like, if it's 12 a.m. on a Tuesday that you can pick a guy up for the waiver, it's going to benefit people that don't sleep, like Andy and I, and people that don't have, like, kids, essentially, or people that aren't trying to have kids.
Yeah, or seven jobs.
If people are, like, fucking their wives, they're not going to be on the waiver wire.
First swear word of the podcast.
Yeah, that's, well, I said shit, but it's the first, the F-bomb.
The real swear words.
Yeah.
I don't really consider shit to be a swear word. Clearly. Anyway, so those will be implemented this year. Again, something that will probably come to light when it started to be used and things like that. People will really get a handle on, because I'm kind of fuzzy on the details of that so far. But I want to touch real quick about the lottery party, which has a direct impact on the draft order. We had a draft party at my parents' house in Ashland, or the lottery party anyways, and for the third year in a row, I got the last pick in the draft. Again, everybody knows this. Not everybody, however, knows the fact that in order to get the last pick in the draft 3 years in a row, you have a 1 in 2,744 chance.
Right.
And out of all those chances...
Does that weigh on you,
my
John?
My number's drawn.
Does that weigh...
It doesn't, because you...
I mean, you brought it up a few times, and you were interested in the math that night. Well, I mean, the chances of me being me are, like, 1 in a trillion. So, the way things turn out are always very odd.
Yeah.
Just that we're weighing, specifically this time, bad luck.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I've kind of harked on, admittedly, for the past few years, is that the role that...
But that hasn't hurt you.
The luck plays in
football.
But
that's not the reason that you did poorly. You didn't know that Favre. You didn't know that Favre's career was actually over before it was actually
Randy
over.
Randy Moss's career.
You didn't know
was
Randy's
over.
Moss. Randy Moss's career was over before it was actually over.
It did hurt me.
You didn't know Kenny Britt
year.
Was.
Yeah, I would think Kenny Britt was gonna fuck up his knee.
What round did you take him in?
Fifth round last year.
Okay.
First
he did extraordinarily well, better than a fifth round pick would, and then all of a sudden he wasn't even a factor. That fifth round pick is still a hard.
Yeah.
It's a big shot in the arm to take. Early in the season.
Well, yeah, you would assume that a fifth-round pick is a steady earner.
A la Vincent Jackson and other people that I probably took it right around that.
Who else was taken in the fifth round? Chad Ochocinco was taken in the fifth round.
Who knew that his career was actually over?
That's true, but that's the difference between McGinnis and I. He took Chad Ochocinco and won the league. I took Brett Favre and finished last in the league. I think I finished last that year. Anyways, so, yeah, we had the lottery party, and I got the last pick in the draft. People are starting to see that the role that luck plays, some people were feeling bad for me. I don't need people to feel bad for me.
But this is a larger theme about fantasy. Is it luck-based or is it skill-based? And do we respect people for luck or skill? Because, my protest against, things like the sending off draft picks and trades and stuff like that was I just like the luck of the league. Like, I don't want to face somebody that just picked up 2 second and third rounders in the league and are going to drop 150 on me in a week. Like, I just like, and even the winner of the league, like, it's kind of like we all criticize each other or criticize other people, but it is essentially luck. But as fantasy kind of progresses or something, as the industry, like, and a league matures in and of itself, like, you're trying to take the luck out of it as much as possible, which is something that, like, as an enjoyment factor, like
I think with the league, like we're pretty quick to dismiss luck when it works in our favor. I think probably everybody but Matt Black, who will
but he doesn't
kind of give the good game type.
We dismiss luck. He celebrates it like what else? It's very annoying when he's like, "Huh, this is the damnedest fucking thing when all that shit dropped my way and
I won."
Yeah. I guess that really helps.
I think it's we're quick to dismiss good luck as skill and bad luck as bad luck,
which is in almost like it's weird to say this in almost a definition of, like, that is fantasy football. It's about screwing other people and claiming that you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
After the fact, like, I have more legacy wins over Paul Ryan.
God, I'm so sick of this legacy shit.
What are you upset about?
So the legacy, correct me if I'm wrong, is the legacy of people who were originally involved in the igloo, correct?
Yeah. It's my club, my social order.
Out of the legacy of the igloo, who is currently still involved in the igloo?
Paul, Ryan, and Brian, me.
Paul is marginally involved in the igloo.
But Paul's a legacy member.
Yeah. The legacy of the igloo is the people who are currently...
It was people originally that probably got in on pick sheets. It's people that had, like I said, on the boards. Okay. People that had a boner for a girl named Trish McNeil. It's a bunch of things that people don't care about that the legacy members do. And even Paul, even though as marginal as he would be, and he's like, I guess moving out west now. He's like on the road. I saw pictures on Facebook.
He's not living in Cleveland anymore?
No, I saw pictures. He's like in Utah, and I saw pictures of Rushmore.
So that's why he didn't come to the lottery party.
That's why.
That's why.
He probably couldn't find a good deal on Dr. Pepper at Giant Eagle. I don't know, but I mean, even Paul would have a, like, that's a good shorthand for Paul's, like, insider jokes from that first year or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, but okay, enough about legacy stuff. So, like, what's on the docket for this podcast?
Well, okay, so we did last season recap. We did the lottery party. Everybody knows the draft order, but the big things is we want to hit really quickly on who are the preseason favorites to win the league.
And there's not many.
Or to be a heavy hitter.
It wouldn't be like just looking at the draft in and of itself.
And I think kind of like who are the preseason favorites to win the league, and who has to win the league, or who has to do very, very well. Like, who needs it?
Or who needs to do, in our discussion, who needs to do better than other specific people? Like, I need to do,
like,
personally, I have to do better than Ryan. But also, Eric needs to maintain to do better than you. Especially after his somewhat disappointing season last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he slipped into the playoffs, and, I mean, after having a
strong start. He kind of tripped in the playoffs last year. Anyways, I didn't make
you, but you need it. You need.
I need it. I need it hard.
Expected to be better than him.
And I think I'm a preseason favorite with the picks that I currently have. Also, let me take this brief moment to say, in terms of the rumors that have been swirling about trades and things like that,
trade rapes.
Brian, first of all, you can go screw yourself.
Ryan?
No, Brian McGinnis.
Why Brian?
I think the trade with Ryan really wasn't.
Set this up for a second. So,
okay, so let me tell you.
Well, I mean, I'll just a quick overview. So, John's been in secretive,
because Brian leaked it to you.
Yeah, he did leak it to me. But there has been talks about John making some high level moves pre-draft that involve him giving up his second round picks, a couple of them, for getting in on earlier picks in the first. So that's been going on between John and Ryan. And I've even been brought in and been consulted about if I want to be involved in something like that. So, I mean, not to surprise anyone, but you probably could contact John and make him an offer. But having said
let me say this.
Why would you say fuck Brian?
Well, first of all, the trade proposal with Ryan, and let me give a quick recap of what the trade proposal is with and tell you what I'm going to do with these trade proposals. The first trade proposal with Brian McGinnis was that I get his first round pick at number 9. I keep my first round pick at 14.
This is a really John-centric podcast now.
So I get his first round pick, and he gets my top 2 second round picks. Not a bad trade, and I would get one of his 6 round picks to kind of even out the picks. Not a bad trade.
John.
And then Ryan's proposal was that I would get his 6th round pick, but give up 3 of my second rounders.
So, in all...
So, what I basically thought was, do I want to be a preseason heavy favorite to win this league this year, or do I want to kind of project more for the next few years with this keeper element and things like this? So, that's Eric Land. So, if I did the trade with Ryan, I would be giving up my chance of winning this year for a chance at a player who will do well.
I think it's, I mean, it's foolish to think that you can't just, like, you can just be good every year. That's not this league anymore.
Yeah.
You might be good 2 years in a row, but pretty much now there's an arms race and you go out. Look at the guy on Game of Thrones. I mean, Brian made the trades he needed to, got the guys he needed, and took the league. So congrats to him. He's a good player of personalities and things like that. He's good managing like that. But that's the league. So I just don't know how you could be like, okay. I mean, I gather you want to be good multiple years in a row going forward. Eric's going to try to be a keeper of Aaron Rodgers for the rest of his career.
But I think like the keeper element has forced people, not forced, but kind of influenced people to try and maintain their dominance over the league instead of being good 1 year and making a run for the title 1 year. And then if you can keep players, that's an extra bonus.
Sure.
And that's kind of where I'm going to reject both of those trade offers, first of all. So I'm not making a trade with either Brian or Ryan.
That's what people just wasted
Pretty much, but the reason is that is that I value trying to make a run for the title this year more than trying to be good
and,
over the next few
I
years.
I mean,
and any trade would make me not quite as good this year and probably better over the next few years.
So transitioning into like discussing like the first round and how it's going to go, because there's been a lot of speculation.
I mean, yeah, like quickly we can give a rundown. So, I mean, number one, Eric's going to take Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Obviously.
Because it's a keeper.
Number two, you would expect that Aaron would take Drew Brees.
We just to talk about this though.
That's
a valid question. Would she take Drew Brees with Brady hanging in the air and Rice and Foster? And
well, okay, so I think most people would say you need to take Brady for a few reasons. Number one, he's added two extra threats to his team: Brandon Lloyd and Jabbar Gaffney.
I feel uncomfortable discussing Brady at this level for Aaron. I feel like we're changing her mind.
Well, but her, I don't think we
having
are.
Having said that,
having said
comma,
that,
comma.
I don't think we are because I think she's pretty afraid that Tom Brady's 3 years older than Drew Brees, and she's looking more again towards the next few years.
There's something, I mean, let's just talk about this. So she wants Brees, and it's advantageous. And also, Steph wants Brees, and she doesn't want Aaron to have Brees.
I think Aaron falls into the category of managers who's loyal to the people who she's had on her team for the past
she's
years.
Like one of those people.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people aren't. Like, I actually...
Gilmer's like that.
I literally
how many
hate...
Times is he, how many times
I literally
has he
hate,
Joe Dye?
I literally hate every player I've ever had on my team, ever.
Except for...
I don't even... No, not even Cam Newton. Which, I mean, we can discuss as we get into this draft order, but I'm not taking Cam Newton, I'm taking Foster.
Okay. Well, okay, so I mean, if we go Rodgers, Brees, we go Rodgers, Brees, she would have Breeze.
She would.
Adrian.
She would leave him in a heartbeat.
Adrian never going to listen to this. But, okay, so Dave has announced on the Igloo boards that if it goes Rodgers, Brees, he's going to take
Dave
Rice at
is a known liar.
I have to take him at his word.
Was he at Fitzpatrick last year?
I don't know.
Yeah, and he fucked me proper on that. I said, just keep me in the know. Let me know if I need to top any offers. It didn't happen. So, going forward...
Was that Dave who screwed you on that?
Yeah, it was
Dave. He traded with somebody else instead of coming back to you.
Yeah, he did. Which was fine. He made a good trade. Or something. I mean, it had value. He got to the playoffs.
He got a trade for himself.
But
he was
never,
in the Fitzgerald trade, right?
I was working a line with Dave. I felt like I had forged of the very few positive relationships I have in the league. I thought Dave... Anyways, but Dave says he's going to take
Rice, Ray Rice, which would leave, let's say, in our mock draft, would leave Tom Brady, Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy to my brother at number four. He's owned McCoy last year before he traded him away. You think he'll take Brady? I think he'll probably take Foster
him away.
And McCoy.
He traded him away. He had a disastrous season. He took Peyton Manning, which is a QB that didn't work out. He wants to both... I mean, Andy seems like the clever enough guy to both deny the even concept of a QB run and then also just take a really good QB. So
he tries
I have,
to exploit other things like tight end runs
last year. Yeah, I have him taking Brady.
I have him taking McCoy, but for the sake of the argument, let's say he takes Brady at number four.
You have him taking McCoy, so
I
get Brady.
Take McCoy. Yeah, it'll be either Foster or Brady to you.
It's amazing.
Or Cam Newton.
How could someone, in so many leagues, in a league such as ours, where Brady should go second, literally go to the fifth or sixth, it's amazing.
That's what happens, man. People get married to one or two guys.
And so Ryan's not getting this deal. So Ryan's at six. Ryan's not getting the deal from you.
He's not getting the deal.
He's not getting spoiled in the second round. He's going to stay at six with no second round pick.
He's going to stay at six. So if those players fell to you, Foster probably for you.
Yeah.
So you'd have Brady, Megatron, Chris Johnson.
No, I already have Brady. So we're talking about Ryan?
Yeah, so we have, who do we have? We have McCoy, we have Megatron, and Chris Johnson.
McCoy.
I said he's taking McCoy. You said he's taking
Brady. Okay. Sorry.
So, Ryan, in your mock draft, we have McCoy, Megatron, or Chris Johnson. I think he'll take Megatron. I've talked to him for a while about that, but I think he will take Megatron at that pick.
And I think that's a mistake, because I think there's Matt Stafford.
Well.
Who we checked on the stats earlier, 20-point difference.
Yeah.
And I just don't. How many TDs did Megatron have?
Let's look that up real quick. I think Ryan's more married to Calvin Johnson because he thinks he has a better shot of being consistent over the next 3 years. Let's see, Matt Stafford last year.
ESPN magazine had some discussion of Matt Stafford regressing a bit.
Matt Stafford,
I don't know if he can throw for 41 TDs.
Threw for 5,038 yards with 41 TDs and 16 interceptions. Mm-hmm. However, last year, no team threw more than the Detroit Lions. Will that trend continue? I don't know. But if it does, it helps him either way because he has Calvin Johnson. Matt Stafford was, by the way, the number five ranked player.
I'll admit, I'll admit I'm ignorant. Ryan could take Megatron. And then after that, let's just say that. So what's Tyler doing at seven?
Well, in that case, Tyler would have McCoy or Chris Johnson.
It's so weird that Chris Johnson keeps any up in his realm.
You know what's so weird is that McCoy has dropped this far.
Yeah. In Brian's big draft boards, his I don't know like the ESPN equivalent is. Like it's not Kuiper, is it, that does this?
No, it's Matt Berry.
Is Matt Berry? But who does Okay, but a mix of the two, but
the big board? Yeah. Mel Kiper's big board.
But McCoy, where does Brian have McCoy going?
I don't know. We'll look this up on the Igloo boards.
Okay.
While
we do that, though, Tyler's got some options there. He possibly has McCoy, and he could do something like Chris Johnson, who obviously is speculation, but it sounds like he's sharper. He looks better in the preseason than he did last year or something. But was there a consensus like why he wasn't good last year? It was just because he
Chris
was a
Johnson.
Holdout?
Yeah, it was a holdout, man. The first half of the season was horrible.
Well, I know he was a holdout, but that's why. There is some logic to that because
I mean, past those top six players, there's a huge drop off in terms of talent. And
yeah, but they lost
safety.
They lost Kenny Britt. They added who was their starting quarterback for most of the year? It was
Matt Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck, but when did he start?
When did he start playing?
Yeah, he didn't start the season.
I think he did.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah. So Brian McGinnis has Tyler taking McCoy at number seven.
You just think that a new QB, they defer to the running back would get the touches he needs, someone like Chris Johnson would, but...
Yeah. Brian also has Dave taking Tom Brady, which I don't think is... Anyways, so they kind of play through. So there's kind of a big drop-off, when you get to back.
Sure.
And then Brian's probably going to take Stafford if he falls there. So then you have Nick, Steel City, Steph, Paul, and John.
What's Beck taking?
Brian has him taking Calvin Johnson. I don't know if Cam Newton has fallen that far to him.
Beck does not seem like a new school guy. He seems like a stable.
I think he would probably take Chris Johnson if he's on the board. I think he would probably take MJD if he was on the board.
So by no means do we have like coherent. We're not admitting that we have like a coherent. Like this is what we think it'll be. This is, even each guy we're kind of throwing a couple options at, but. So, BMAC is B to the MAC. Is it B?
B to the MAC. It's B to the MAC.
It's B to the MAC. Yeah. But he's going to take Matt Stafford. And then Nick, who's... let's say this about Nick. Kind of a no-show so far in the preseason in terms of talk, commentary.
Yeah, dude. That guy, he runs a hotel in California. He's got so many people constantly. He does work a lot, so that there's that. But he wanted into this league pretty bad. Not really holding his own so far.
I think
kind of popping in and out.
Like a lot of members in the league, he probably was drunk and you offered it to him, John.
I don't think so. I've only offered this to one person. It was Nick, and so far
and
he screwed me. I did not bring Jay back in. Brian McGinnis brought
and
Jay
Dave.
Back in.
Who brought Dave in?
Dave volunteered to come in.
Okay. Well, I'm smoking weed with Dave next week, so that.
Are you? Are you looking forward to that?
I am. I feel like it's a group of friends who've gotten to the point where, like, aside from cheating on somebody's wife or something like that, someone's like, I mean, I don't think there's any, yeah, I mean, I think you can admit things like that.
Whatever.
Good for people. People always want people to enjoy it.
So, frankly, I don't want to finish the first round because it's all, I can't
keep
the
picks
straight,
hard, yeah.
Things like that. But you have people like MJD, Larry Fitzgerald, Ryan Matthews, who broke his collarbone, Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, Roddy White, Greg Jennings, both the tight ends who currently have not been picked in our
I hope Gronkowski goes in the first round.
I hope he goes in the first round too.
I would be happy about that.
So
it'd be a little bit of a splash.
All those guys are there. Let's be honest, those tight ends are kind of like wide receivers anyways. So.
Okay. And just because it is a keeper league and because there really is a strange separation, it's so weird how, you know, how many football players in America and especially the NFL, like how they're just four or five fantasy type guys that you gotta have, yeah. And everyone else is a bit of a toss. Yeah. Like they're gonna move around. There's gonna be some second guys that creep into like the top 14 spots in terms of point scorers and things like that. Like, oh, I didn't see that coming, and maybe Matt Stafford regresses a little, or God forbid, Eli is actually a good quarterback, or Peyton Manning shows back up and it's like an elite. That's like a little bit of a long shot, but still, I mean, past that first four or five, who you take really shouldn't be criticized in the next 10. If it's all jumbled up one way or the other, you have a preference, you have some guy that's your guy.
Yeah, somebody you owned.
It's both stupid and smart to take Cam at literally almost any spot.
Yeah.
Almost any spot besides one.
Yeah.
Like, some leagues, people are like...
There's a lot of question marks after those first six or seven picks if you lump... Well, eight picks if you lump Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford.
And if it depends on, like, what region of the country you're living in. Like, I lived in down North Carolina, like... Close enough where people, a lot of people were watching the Panthers, and it was on TV. Yeah. Like, you know, okay, I live and breathe Cam Newton, so I believe in him or something. You know, it depends.
Yeah,
Paul's moving out west, so he'll probably pick up Gore.
Frank Gore. Probably pick up Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah,
Randy Moss. Randy Moss is playing at the 49ers this year.
Is he really?
Yeah, he got picked up.
I don't follow Moss news.
Randy Moss and Terrell Owens is playing at the Seahawks this year. So, anyways, I mean, are there some people that you would expect this year to kind of be, not people, players in the NFL to kind of be big-name players this year?
Well,
like, you expect the quarterbacks to do well. You expect Calvin Johnson to do well.
All the normals, you know, the regulars, the usual suspects, I expect to do well. It's interesting, like, really bizarre. I mean, I think it's the kind of production drop-off that Carson Palmer had, but yet the strange production he still had with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. They seem like a young, up-and-coming, interesting part of the NFL where they play in the, like, the AFC West. So, I don't know. They could do well.
Yeah, the thing that's difficult this year with the fantasy, I think, is, like I said, barring those top eight players, there's a lot of players with unknowns. A lot of players had uneven seasons last year, like Chris Johnson, like Cam Newton, kind of were hot one part, cold the next. And there's a lot of players coming off of injuries, like Jamal Charles. Will MJD's holdout hurt him?
Yeah.
But who was the other huge injury last year?
Do you think that...
Kenny Britt was a huge injury. Forte had an injury. Dan McFadden was injured last year.
And Charles. But the thing is, we talked about this earlier before the podcast, but in terms of, like, identifying actual fantasy guys, so you know, like, now you know going forward, like, Brady's going to throw the ball a ton. You don't know if picking up any one specific receiver in their team is a good idea.
Yeah.
But you know Brady's a good idea.
Yeah.
And you know, like, whatever, Megatron's relationship with Matt Stafford, either one of them are a good idea. But, like, we talked about Peterson before.
Yeah, Peterson
before
was injured last year. Yeah.
Okay, like, is he a good idea? Because that offense is such a mess.
Yeah.
So is he really a pure fantasy guy? You know? But... I'm sure that you can get Peyton Manning for pennies on the dollar, essentially, in the draft. But he's a gamer, and he's going to find somebody to hit, right? He'll probably still throw, like, that 15 to 20 interception. Just identifying pure fantasy players, it seems like the science is becoming more specific.
It seems like it's becoming more specific, and it seems like it's very random at the same time.
But you can follow, like, ESPN's much more, ESPN and all the stat sites are much more telling about targets and drop passes and things like that. So you start to get a feel like, okay, you know, even if Welker's a bit crowded there in New England, he's going to get a lot of targets.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he gets open.
Yeah. I don't know.
What else is on our docket?
There's a lot of question marks in terms of players. The other thing that I want to talk about real quick, and this is something that's been a huge, kind of huge debate on the Igloo boards, is, you know, this league, I feel we have two mentalities. The first mentality is
serious here, John.
The first mentality of the league is you need a stud quarterback in order to do well in the league.
But it's not true, obviously.
It's not true because
our two,
Roma and our champion,
both injured or.
Vic had a subpar year last year,
Was Romo injured?
Yeah, he got injured. That's why, essentially, Ryan will say that
he had the rib injury, but I thought he's played through it, and it was like, look,
yeah, didn't play very much in that final game, in the final of our league.
Okay.
He had just a few points for Ryan. But, I mean, do you need a stud quarterback to do, to do well? That's the first thing that used to be where you needed a stud running back.
Well, in the words of Ryan Gilmer, it's a red herring. You need five really good players on your team.
Well, okay.
Five really
But the
good
argument
players.
Is and now is that the do it. Now the you argument is six, that the
you can get five or six guys.
Yeah, I mean the argument is that the level of quarterback has been raised so much that, like, let's say you take somebody like Eli Manning, and I'm going to look this up because I had him last year, but Eli Manning had close to 5,000 yards
passing
last year.
Yeah, we all know Barry says he's not a top five, but he's still a quality pick. Like,
he is a
quality pick.
In
the first round, but he makes sense in the second round. He makes sense in the early part of the second round. He's got plenty of weapons.
Yeah.
He's coming off a season where, I don't know, like his confidence is solidified or something. He's not living
but
the
I'm
shadow
not sure.
of his
I mean,
brother.
You need a decent quarterback, but I think you can get by without a decent quarterback. And that's something that McGinnis seems to think is like, you don't get a. And obviously, like, the results show it. Yeah. I mean,
no,
at the top.
But, John, on a
the top nine players were all quarterbacks.
If you don't have a good
year.
QB, it can be devastating to your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
You'll make moves that you wouldn't normally make. You'll get desperate. You'll hate your team.
I mean, it's very reassuring to know that you can count on 20 points.
There is
from
nothing like fucking
every season.
Rodgers backing you up every week.
Yeah,
450 yards.
The other thing that I think our league
plus TDs.
I think our league does a little bit too much is kind of they react a little bit to drafting trends.
Well,
so like McGinnis likes to say.
No.
For example,
okay. It's not just drafting, which I agree. But it's like, we have a history. So, not only will you get mocked, you'll get mercilessly mocked by the people that you don't want to be mocked by. Like, that has to be, mentioned in terms of the influence of the draft. I don't want to take a chance. Like, after drafting a bunch of thugs last year, I don't want to be laughed at.
Yeah.
I want draft respect. I want to come up on those power rankings. Dude, someone's working on power rankings after
the
draft.
Bro.
What's that?
He's a poster, dude. Brian McGinnis is the power ranking man.
No, but what I'm saying is somebody's working on power rankings on initially after a draft.
Yeah.
And then there's a podcast of people telling you that you suck.
Well, I'm just saying that our league is very, it's influenced by what other people think, obviously. So you don't want to make a pick that people think is hilarious. You know, like, I got made fun of for drafting Eli in the fourth round last year, blah, blah, blah. But you're also influenced by what other people do. So let's say Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham go at the end of the first round or somewhere in the second round. Does that mean now that, like, Antonio Gates, JerMichael Finley, Vernon Davis are going in the second and third round? Because history shows that they will. History shows that they will.
Will Gates go in something like the third?
I don't know. The reports out of camp
there's 14,
are very favorable.
14, so like 30, like 42 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit early for Gates. But still, I mean, he'd go early in the fourth or something like that.
Yeah.
After, like, there's no legitimate reason. Especially looking at, like, the guys that went in the fifth. Welker. Didn't Welker go in the fifth round last year?
Dude, I think he went later than that.
No, I think
we
saw
looked at
this. That Jay Beck picked him up in the fifth.
Beck, that was a
That's
really
still
good
unbelievable.
Pick up, yeah.
Like, that, like, the idea of PPR is still ahead and, like, solidified in the league or whatever, and... Like, someone was able to pick up Welker. And then, literally, from the first week on, I was hounding J-Back. I was sending multiple text messages unresponded
Dude,
to.
I was looking at Wes Welker to see what kind of draft or trade I could do with him.
We can get that guy.
Dude.
Dude, I offered him a first-round pick.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Didn't he trade, like, his fifth-round pick for Ben Roethlisberger?
Mm.
That guy was making questionable trades
he
last
traded,
year.
Yeah, McGinnis admitted this to me in a private conversation that I'll divulge now. He said he felt like J-Back made that trade just to
look like he was doing something.
Yeah, just to make him feel better.
Yeah.
Like, get him off his back, essentially. Stop the text messages and emails and phone calls.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay. So, the other thing I want to talk about is the keeper element of our league. Do you think that people are valuing the role that keepers will play in the next few years too much in this draft?
I do, but I just think that it's just a small band-aid on, like, the anxieties and fears the idea that somebody can pick up a first or second round quality guy in the middle of the season while they're facing you. So, oh yeah, keepers, they won't get rid of, like, but in reality, there's two or three keepers in the league, and maybe even less. Especially when you see, like, you know, you could be high on Vic for 4 weeks and then see him go down. So, mm-hmm. Someone like Cam, Vic, RG3, if he gets better in the future, again, like, would he ever be a keeper? Because we're still, the NFL has not decided on if that style quarterback, even that prototype or whatever, is even sustainable mm-hmm. for multiple seasons. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it seems like you got three guys coming up on, like or doing historical things, like Breeze, Brady, mm-hmm. Peyton when he was good, and Matt Stafford and stuff like that. But, yeah, and there's not, you know, anyone that's picking, like, in the 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, in the first round, they can't conceivably think they have a keeper. And even if the season starts going really well, I mean, it'd be hard to think that there was some kind of objective or quantifiable proof, like, oh, yeah, I have a keeper now. Mm-hmm. You know? And also, people like, a guy fucks you in the playoffs or near the end of the season, even if he's been really good for you. Like, take, I was forgetting names.
I'll help you.
I was going to go into Ryan Leaf. Who's the quarterback for the Chargers?
Philip Rivers.
Yeah, Philip Rivers. Okay. So, is it beers or what? But Philip Rivers had a great second half. But if he had a bad second half and a good first half,
like Cam Newton,
even though he had good numbers overall, you didn't have a good experience with him. Yeah. Especially if someone... Yeah, Cam Newton. Okay, better example. Cam Newton. Yeah. I don't want to keep Cam because I have bad memories of him. He's not a keeper. Even though maybe in terms of production and quality, he is a keeper going forward.
Yeah, but my thought is, I mean, do you think... Obviously, you don't... Do you think that the league as a whole is taking the keeper element too seriously in the draft, especially like in the first round? So, I mean, somebody like Eric has to be worried about keepers because, I mean, honestly, he doesn't have a second round pick.
Yeah.
He's got to be really good this season in order to make a run for the playoffs because he isn't going to have the depth that other people have. So his first pick has to be a keeper.
But what if, yeah, okay, but he makes Rodgers his keeper, and if Rodgers gets injured, can he afford to keep him on his team?
I don't know. That's
you know what's going to happen.
Talked about this.
What the keeper may become a bigger factor when we stop this the 14 team thing when we cut two teams.
Cut it down to 12 or 10
cut
or
it down
whatever.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's becomes. I mean, it's something to keep in the future, but just keep in mind. But you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
So we talked before the podcast about. Who needs to, like, win it the most? Who needs this the worst or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, who is that person? You?
Probably me. I think Andy needs to win it a lot.
Andy needs to, because
I think
Aaron
needs to win it a lot.
The Andy fear has dissipated.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a mercurial kind of guy. Is he still good on the waiver wire? Is his whole draft strategy, is he experimental? Not that he's a bad drafter. Obviously, Andy knows as much as anybody about he can group me from Spain about the draft. he's up on things. But if his strategy doesn't work out, he's going to live with the consequences and then plan accordingly for next season like he did last year.
Yeah.
But, okay, if he doesn't win this year, that initial thrust of the first 2 years he was in the league, that's no longer, you know...
I think
Andy's like a major fantasy threat. He's better than you.
I think Aaron. You think Aaron needs to win it this year?
Did she go to the playoffs last year?
She went to the playoffs. She was the third top team. Okay, so Aaron says to people that. Okay, first of all, let me get this out there. Aaron had a good team last year. As you look at her draft retroactively, and this is something that Joel and I did right before we did this podcast, she had a really good draft, and that's something I probably don't give her enough credit for. Is whether it was by accident or she knew what she was doing, she had a really good draft.
Yeah, and I don't think it's helpful to say, like, it's by accident or not, because...
Well, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know at the time how good the...
Gronkowski won the 14th?
12th,
okay. Yeah. I mean, essentially, like,
yeah,
picking
you
up a guy,
know.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
I understand that.
Yeah, but she had a great draft.
She did have a good draft.
I think making the... What makes, like, a quality... Like, what builds your fantasy prestige? I think making the playoffs once every 2 years is good. once every 3 years, you don't feel like you're successful.
But I don't think that making the playoffs is enough.
Yeah, you don't know though. Once the playoffs start.
Okay, let's say this, Joel.
It's like, the NFL.
Let's say I don't have so many second round picks, and I limp into the playoffs like Eric did last year. Does that get the monkey off my back?
I don't remember if Eric had any idea what his chances were in week one of the playoffs.
No, but I'm saying is the bare minimum for this league to be considered a force in the league just to make the playoffs?
It's hard to make the playoffs.
I understand. Believe me, I understand it's hard to make the playoffs. Yeah. But I mean, I think probably the bar for it should be, you know, top two, top three, consistently.
Yeah,
this person knows
their
shit.
A top four finish a couple times, you know, that's a couple years in a row. That's a good showing.
Yeah. Well, again, so I think Erin needs to win it this year, partly because she had a good draft last year. She had a really good team. She likes to tell people that she scored the most points out of any team last year, which she did. But you and I also saw before the podcast is she was second to last in terms of points scored against her. So only Dave had the fewer points scored against them last year.
That's hard to
believe. By like 7 points.
Yeah, but looking at Maddie's schedule last year and the way he won, I can't believe that. I don't know what was the breakdown here of like Maddie had in terms of points scored.
Maddie
against
only
people.
Had 4 weeks where he scored over 100 points. He had 1 week where he beat. Was it Justin Beck by only scoring like 85 points or something?
Yeah,
like that.
he was special.
We lost the tab here.
Yeah, I don't know, but the larger issue here is, you know, in terms of winning, I think making the playoffs is excellent. But granted, Eric got in at 7-6, but he scored a ton of points with Brady.
Yeah.
So, but I think because I haven't seen the playoffs in a while, it feels like that's a success. And then I also think power wins is another thing. Like,
what's a power win?
120 plus.
Oh yeah.
And winning.
Just curb stomping somebody.
It's yeah, but now I think like with the super teams that are gonna naturally be built every season. Yeah, you'll see like.
Who did you play in the first week last year?
No, I forget.
Whoever it was, curb stomped you.
Oh, Erin? Erin.
Yeah, 500
points. I think like 99 something.
You had like 53 points
yeah,
that week.
It was
yeah.
Rough.
Dude, that was funny.
Apparently, I didn't draft correctly.
Well, okay. So finally, I mean, we talked a little bit, and I'm sure this discussion will lead on to the boards. I assume that people will join us in the discussion on the boards. Some people probably won't be happy with what we said, some people will be happy. Etc. Etc. Do you have anything else to say about the?
I was thinking more
kind of
about
dynamic
that.
Of the league, anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is obviously talk for another podcast, but as well. But someone like Justin Beck or even Maddie, capital M A T T Y. I'm not trying to trademark that this season. With like Jess Arendt and Dooku and everything, like I don't know, J Show, yeah, cool nickname. But I mean, like the non-talkative people, we could classify them as that. They care. I'll admit that they like the league. But if someone like that wins the league, what if like the top two or three teams were like that? Like we've been lucky so far in that the people that care the most have pretty much been in the top.
Yeah.
But
probably something to that.
There's like the
people that care the most and put the most into it.
So far, we could say that, but I mean, a silent minority, is like those people that don't talk much. Like, if they take the league by storm or something this year, yeah, you want to hang? I mean, hang.
Well, that's what JB did a couple of years ago.
Yeah. He was active on the boards, and he was a crossbreed between like a Maddie and an Eric. Like, I know more than you, and also, I won.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Did the trophy ever go to his house?
No. He didn't want the trophy. It went straight. Andy, I think, kept it for another year. And then went to
the I don't think the trophy was made by then because.
It was made for JB and he didn't accept it. I mean, it was made in time for JB to have it. Not for JB, but it was made in time for him to have it and he didn't want it.
Okay, and so closing down the podcast.
I mean, we want to look ahead.
Looking ahead, and also, like, what did we miss? Like, what are some things that?
I don't know. I love the Fantasy Football League. I think excitement, pre-draft excitement, is at an all-time high.
I'll tell you one thing we missed. In speaking about that.
Okay.
Like, the Ryan Bryan thing is, it's never been before.
Yeah.
Like, that matchup, I don't know what week that is that they'll meet up, but...
I'll look that up for you.
This shit is on between those two.
Yeah.
In terms of the rhetoric and that, that's usually a place that's been reserved for me versus everybody else. But the Ryan Bryan thing is good. The you and Eric thing is always good. I think Eric will probably say another half dozen things that probably piss you off before, you know, the season starts.
I think, I'm not sure, this isn't going fast enough, but I think the other thing, and this is something kind of funny that not a lot of people will get, but you know in like religion classes in AU, where, I think Kyle Fedler was notorious for this, where you have like a huge paper, and he gives you like 2 or 3 weeks to do it, and about 3 classes before it's due, he says, if you haven't started your paper by now, first of all, I'll be able to tell. And second of all, I feel sorry for you. Or, like, you have no chance at, like, getting like a decent paper.
The law of Fedler. The Fedler.
Yeah.
The Fedler.
So, that's the thing I want to say. Like, there's so much excitement going on in this league. Is that if you're not doing mock drafts, if you're looking at top 200 lists or power rankings of players, if you're not up to date on, you know, people like MJD holding out or Mike Wallace, there's things like that, I feel sorry for you.
Well, I'll just sell, like, my first, second, and third pick next year.
Yeah, okay.
If I don't.
Okay, Eric. So, I mean, we want to look forward to the excitement with the draft. Are we going to have any draft parties going on? We're going to have a draft party here in Columbus?
There is a draft party in Columbus Sunday night.
Beers, maybe we'll get back here. Beers. Me, you, Andy, Ryan.
Couple laughs.
The draft is the day before Labor Day. So.
Some burgers, some beers, some laughs.
Yeah.
That's a line from The Big Lebowski. Which, by the way, is a movie everyone should watch. They should know that, but...
Is Matt Black going to be cajoled into taking a Steeler in the first round?
Off, I thought you were going to say he's cajoled into coming to the fucking draft party.
Well, I don't expect him to show up.
Okay, if Frank Sinatra says it's okay,
he'll be here,
but...
Spinal Tap.
Yeah. I don't know if...
Yes, I can if Frank Sinatra says it's okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, first week we have let's do big matchups first week. So we have Eric and Aaron. Is that a big matchup?
That's a guy who had the first round pick not winning his first week.
Pick number one, pick number two.
Okay.
Quarterback duel.
Damn. Okay, that's a high profile. That's high profile. And the EE thing is, I mean, it sounds good.
And then, I mean,
by the way, John, I already have the first week poster made.
Really?
Season theme pump. Yep.
How long ago did you do this?
Actually, it's not done. The concept is done and some of the work is done on it. Actually, gotta get your picture for it tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Why am I on the poster? Anyways.
Because you're the story of the season.
Oh, well, I understand.
You're the Tim Tebow of the league.
And then probably the other major matchup is you and Ryan. Do you have anything to say about that matchup? I mean, we don't even know what the teams are.
No, it's already been said.
We haven't even picked the teams.
Like, it just feels like I'll win. Yeah, the last few years have been like, I started out 1-0 and then 0-1 and then 1-0 again or something like that. But obviously, I lost last year. It's been kind of hit and miss for me.
Yeah.
And like, at times I thought I was strong, at times I thought I was weak. It happened in reverse. But it just feels like Ryan doesn't have a second round pick. He's not getting his rape trade with you. This is something I should win.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a decent draft.
Yeah. All right, guys.
The chirp of
the crickets.
I guess, yeah, it's my proclamation, but...
Well,
I'll go out on a limb and say I'll start 1-0.
Okay. Well, I think that about wraps it up for us. I'm sure this podcast is almost an hour in length. Probably a little longer. Which is probably a little longer than we'd like it to have been, but...
Any at-large igloo... Any at-large igloo concerns?
Like just the igloo in general?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to see Dave next week. That's going to be good. Your brother's coming back from Europe.
Steph's party's coming up. Guys, please please come to Steph's party. Not that I'm pleading for you to come because I feel bad that I don't think people will come.
I feel bad for people. I feel bad for people like Maddie that are negotiating that may or may not come.
I mean, it's the end of summer. The other good thing is that it's right in the middle of the first weekend of football games. There's going to be a game on Wednesday and Thursday. Her party's on Friday.
This summer feels, like, really defined. Like, I have never... I mean, this is only my second year back in the States, but it's my first time experiencing, like, the end of summer in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, season's ending and school year's starting. Like, it's weird how... Yeah. I feel like I'm back in the mix of things, as much as I'm, like, kind of all over the place, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like this would be a good, like, summer series kind of party wrap-up.
Finish it out. It's a good time probably to usher in the autumn.
It's a good chance to do the draft party the right way.
Absolutely.
Like, people staying late.
Hit the fire. We got a bonfire going on.
People getting
we got
too drunk, maybe saying some things that they shouldn't say.
Yeah.
So
we got that. And then we've got Asher's party, first birthday party. I'm not really sure about the date. I'm sure Eric and Amanda will clue us in on that on the boards. But I'm sure that's a couple weekends after Steph's party.
No, actually, I'm excited to see Asher because that's...
Have you met him before?
I've seen Molly once. I've seen Asher none.
Really?
That's zero.
Yeah.
That's how much I've seen him is none.
Yeah.
That's another get it done to-do list kind of thing.
Yeah. So that'll be another good party. So I think that probably pretty much wraps it up for us.
Yeah, it got a little bit... didactic there for a while, but
yeah.
I think pretty decent. John, you want to, like, close us down with some music?
Alright, we're signing off, right?
Yeah, this is it.
That'll be it.
Who's the next podcast?
I don't know, who's got the next podcast?
I was going to mention Julie. I don't think VMAC has beat the NIC has ever been featured on a podcast.
He hasn't. Paul has once.
Paul has been on a podcast. Dave has been on a podcast.
If Paul's been on a podcast and you haven't, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Take it easy.
Stop.
We'll see you in the draft.
Stop feeling over the bra. Get under it. VMAC, get on the podcast.
All right. Take it easy, guys. See you.